Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This is the best offense in football. Like, on paper right now, what is it, June 18th here in 2024, there is not a better offense statistically and on paper than the Philadelphia Eagles. If Hurts plays top five, top eight quarterback type of play in the NFL this year, the offense will score 30 plus a game and it shouldn't be a problem, but it's Kellen Moore's job to make sure we get to that point.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Tuesday's edition of Birds 365, moving right along in the offseason, 35 days out from the Eagles report, and joined now by Thomas Mott, host of the Thomas Mott Show. Thomas, welcome to the show, man. Nice to have you on for the first time.
Only 35 days until training camp, guys. You think we can actually make it?
I think we can do it, Thomas.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, good to have you, Thomas. Yeah, I don't know. Are we going to make it? I hope we're going to make it. It's tough to get through the glow period.
Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, I figure we just do, you know, two straight hours of do Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts hate each other, and then we do it again tomorrow and for 33 more days.
Unfortunately, you know, but this is the thing. I think a lot of people criticize us, Thomas, when we do stuff, and a lot of Eagles, and I get it. You know, if you're an Eagles fan and you're upset, it's, We didn't manufacture this. Those of us who were at the press conference, Martin Frank, buddy of mine, it was a softball question. It was an easy answer. And, you know, Jeff McClain reports that the key members of the organization, key figures in the organization, are upset by it. Disappointed was the word he used. That's what I got from one source who said, "You're creating needless speculation." That's what the quarterback did. We didn't do that. So why are we supposed to not talk about it? What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, I think we're obviously allowed to talk about it and should talk about it. I talked to Brandon Lee Gowton from Bleeding Green Nation. He was on my show last week. He was at the press conference that you were, and he said the same thing. It's a softball question. All you have to do is say, hey, Sirianni's been great. He's been in a bunch of different meetings, wearing a bunch of different hats. It's a good position for him. It's a good look. But he didn't do that. But I also think at the same time, has Jalen ever been super, you know, gung-ho about any question asked by the media? He's not this media darling quarterback that's going to take a question and run with it and give you, you know, 10 straight perfect minutes of sound bites that we can all cut up for our shows and put on the radio and go, man, he absolutely loves this person or that person. He's always, you know, kind of short. It's kind of just by the book, business as usual. And I think we take a little bit too much into this. At the same time, though, Nick Sirianni is going to do what Nick Sirianni does this year, whether he has a big, giant, you know, imprint on the offense or not. And whether Jalen loves him or not doesn't really matter as long as they win football games.
Well that's true. One follow-up. Sorry, Xander. Yeah, you're good. Jump in. Because where I will say it's a little bit different, because I asked Jalen the question about, you know, last time we talked to Jalen before this, he talked about being in sponge mode, he called it, when he was talking about Kellen Moore's offense. So I asked him, are you still in sponge mode, or basically are you, you know, verbalizing more of what you want with the offense? And that's when Jalen took it where he wanted to take it and said it was 95% new. So that became a thing, 95% new offense. So he can be intentional. And sometimes he is short, but if you get him talking, he can be intentional and he will say things that he wants out there. In that 95%, Thomas, he wanted out there because the offense struggled during minicamp for the most part. So I kind of see both. He could have, and that's why people were disappointed. He could have answered that question easily, as you just did. You said, oh, he's doing a great job, and move on to the next question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very simple. That's why I think it's a story.
No, it's a very fair point. I do think back to the fact that we all know Jalen Hurts, and a lot of people were unhappy with the coaching last year. I don't know if you know or anyone else knows if it was more hate towards Sirianni, more hate towards Brian Johnson on the defensive side. Was it Sean Desai, Matt Patricia? Like, we just don't know the true ins and outs of what all went wrong in terms of which coaches upset players last year. I just don't think Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie would have brought back Nick Sirianni if Jalen Hurts or some other prominent players hated the guy. Like, if Jalen Hurts genuinely was like, I think Nick Sirianni is an idiot, he doesn't know offense, he's the reason why we collapsed last year, you really think that Howie would be like, yeah, but, you know, he's a yes man, let's just bring him back for another year, we'll figure things out whenever it gets there.
Potentially to protect themselves. I mean, if you fired Doug 3 years, and I've brought this up on the show many times, if you fired Doug 3 years after the Super Bowl, after he brought you the pinnacle of the sport, something we've never achieved here in Philadelphia before Doug Peterson, you fire him because he wants his own coordinator, and then you move on from Nick 2 years after he goes to the Super Bowl, it doesn't really look good. But I do get your point. I mean, if Jalen didn't want him, I don't think they would have brought him back. But I also wonder if they're even willing to give Jalen that much lenience, where they like the control and they're gonna take it, and that's how it goes.
It's possible. I mean, you give him $255 million, he's got to have some sort of say in terms of how the offense
is guy, yep.
But still, I mean, we talk about these things that the Eagles are some sort of major dysfunctional organization that has these sort of problems every single year, and yet they have gone to Super Bowls, they've won a Super Bowl, they've moved on from this coach, they've moved on from that coach. It does feel like there is something going on behind the scenes. Is it big enough to make a massive deal of it once training camp starts? Probably not right now, 35 days out from training camp, sure. But I do think winning is going to solve all of the Eagles' issues. And if they get hot and they're 5-0, it'll just be like 2022 when, you know, maybe Sirianni was the architect, maybe it was Shane Steichen, but we didn't care because they won a bunch of games.
Water under the bridge. Yeah. Exactly.
Winning cures all ills. And I want to make it clear, I'm not saying Jalen Hurts dislikes Nick Sirianni.
Sure.
I don't know how you could dislike Nick Sirianni. I mean, he's one of those guys that everybody's going to get along with. So I don't think it has to do with that. I think the bigger aspect of it is, all right, because I think it's easy to blame coaches when things go wrong.
Yeah.
But I always say it's a talent first league, Thomas, good or bad. It's players first when it's good, like it was when the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl. It's players first when it's bad, like they were collapsing down the stretch. So to me, it's more about Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts's ability to bounce back to where he was in 2022, whether those intangibles and being able to handle these types of situations are a big part of that. I don't know, but he seems a little bit frustrated moving on to this 95% new offense. Very early, what happens in June is not going to matter when they get to training camp. Any concerns from you that another change for Jalen Hurts is going to be a problem?
I mean, there's always concerns. I mean, everyone in the NFL, it's the age old adage, that you change offensive coordinators, you got to reset. It's like learning a new language, and it definitely hurts young quarterbacks who are trying to figure out what to do in the National Football League. I think Jalen's upset with the fact that he starts off in 2021, or his first year being the full-time starter, and he's basically given this hybrid offense where it's like, you know, run as best you can, we'll try and get some passes in there. But it was really just keyed towards, let's try and win football games any way possible. They ran the ball like crazy up until, you know, the playoff loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where they were embarrassed. Then you bring in year two in Shane Steichen, the offense gets opened up. He's running, he's throwing, he's looking like an MVP. And that's the year where we all go, okay, like, we have something serious here. We have a quarterback who is not just going to be, you know, a one-trick pony who can run around a little bit and make plays with his legs, but he threw the football very, very well. His accuracy dramatically improved. But then Brian Johnson's offense, and whether it was Sirianni or Johnson or a combination of the two, we don't know. But it felt like they kind of, you know, pulled him back a little bit. I feel like Jalen has wanted to progress from 2021 Jalen to 2022 Jalen to suddenly 2023 Jalen, where he's supposed to be in the same conversation as Joe Burrow or maybe Patrick Mahomes or all these great quarterbacks that win from the pocket but also have mobility. But they kind of put the clamps on him last year. They barely threw to the middle of the football field, whether that's Jalen's fault or the coach's fault, who knows. It was a lot of very basic vanilla screen routes, jet screens, you know, little 10-yard stops. There was no creativity at all. And I think Jalen got to the point halfway through the season where he's like, I'm not progressing. I'm not learning. I'm not getting to the point that I should be in my third year as a full-time starter. And we're losing a bunch of football games, and I'm now having to improvise to try to even, you know, get us out of Seattle with a win, which they unfortunately weren't able to do. Threw a lot more interceptions from that. So I think the frustration is there that he hasn't been able to grow through the first couple of years of his career, like a lot of other elite quarterbacks have been able to do. I think the hope is now with Kellen Moore, they're going to make him, and Kellen Moore especially is going to make him, hey, you know, you're going to be a 100% full NFL quarterback. You're going to win from the pocket. You're going to throw across the middle. We're going to give you a ton of motion before the snap, the way you can see what the defense is doing, give you some pre-reads, give you some audible abilities at the line. And the hope is that eventually it's going to turn Jalen Hurts into the elite quarterback that we saw back in 2022. But that comes with the June, or I should say the May issues at OTAs with the interceptions. You were at training camp. I followed a lot of your coverage on Twitter. The offense, as you've said, was really, really bad. I expect that right now, but I think hopefully by November, we'll have the same deal as we saw back in 2022.
Yeah, that's a good breakdown. How optimistic are you on Kellen Moore then, Thomas? Do you think he's the right fit for this job? I mean, I think you're right about what you said, where he's kind of the guy that might be able to bring back that full encompassing offense for Jalen Hurts. Do you like the hire of Kellen Moore?
I love the hire, but I've said it many times on my show. We have no idea. It's the same thing for draft picks, right? Oh, I love Quinyon Mitchell. Is Quinyon Mitchell going to be good? None of us have any clue if Quinyon Mitchell is actually going to be good. The same goes for Kellen Moore. You can go back historically. You like what he did with Dak Prescott. He had some really good years there. You like what he did kind of with the Chargers, although, you know, Herbert is this really interesting guy that's kind of raised to a top three quarterback ability, doesn't always play to that level. He has injuries around him, so who really knows? But it feels like he at least has the experience to, again, make Jalen Hurts, or help Jalen Hurts is probably a better word, become a complete quarterback in the National Football League. Because you guys have covered the NFL for a long time. Complete quarterbacks win Super Bowls, right? These quarterbacks who have, you know, more of a running ability, or who have zero ability to actually move the football in terms of the middle of the football field or down the field. Any quarterback that has a deficiency somewhere usually doesn't win the Super Bowl in the modern NFL. There were guys in the early 2000s who did it, but in the modern NFL, you got to be a complete guy. And I think Jalen was as close to a complete quarterback as he possibly was in 2022. And Kellen Moore's entire job is to get him back to that level, because this is the best offense in football. Like, on paper right now, what is it, June 18th here in 2024, there is not a better offense statistically and on paper than the Philadelphia Eagles. If Hurts plays top five, top eight quarterback type of play in the NFL this year, the offense will score 30 plus a game and it shouldn't be a problem, but it's Kellen Moore's job to make sure we get to that point.
Good point.
I talk about the expectations a lot, Thomas, and you just kind of laid it out. Everybody thinks this offense on paper should be, you know, the greatest show on turf again. I'm not at that point. And I certainly think the floor of this offense is very high. And by that, I mean, last year, people think it was awful. And it ended up number eight in the NFL.
Right.
I think it's a similar floor this year. It's going to be a top 10 offense. But there's a big difference from 8-9 to 1, yeah. Number one, never mind historical, like the LA Rams, St. Louis Rams back in the day, or an offense like that. Boy, I think they're going to be closer to the floor than the ceiling. And there's one guy I focus on.
Yeah.
People think I dislike him. I like him a lot. He's a great guy. He's a great leader. He's a great person to have in the organization, but I have not seen the evidence that Saquon Barkley is who people think he is. And that was coming out of Penn State as the number two overall pick. He had one big season as a rookie with the Giants.
Yeah.
Then he had the torn ACL, and it's been okay, he's a good player, not a great player. The Eagles have spun him. They've used the word special. Do you think he is a special player?
You know, I do. And I understand the criticism, because if you go back and watch some Saquon Barkley film, especially with the New York Giants, he loses a lot of football games. That's, you know, more towards the Giants. And there are times where he was shut down and the Giants offense was unable to move. But I do think that, much like with the Eagles offense being ranked eighth in the league last year, you got to actually, you know, use your eyes for an entire football game over the course of an entire season and gather more than just what stats say, or, you know, what, it, you know, the actual numbers on paper actually do. The Eagles offense was eighth overall last year because they had moments where they were really good, especially early on in the season. But if you used your eyes and watched the Seattle Seahawks game and you watched the Arizona Cardinals game and both of those Giants games later on down the stretch, it was not a top eight offense, right? The offense struggled incredibly in situational football. Third down and three, you know, and they're running some sort of dumb quarterback draw that gets nowhere. Third down and 10, they're running a 5-yard out or a little jet screen. Like, it just didn't make sense. And so while they were on paper the eighth best offense in the National Football League, our eyes all told us, and why Eagles fans got so mad at Nick Sirianni and Brian Johnson, that it was like the 25th best offense in reality when you actually came down to in between the numbers playing football. I think Saquon's very similar. I think the stats will show you that he had one special season. The stats will show you that he's a very good running back. He's not elite. But I think the eyes, and the eyes in this offense, are where a lot of us, including myself, are saying this can be a special running back, because the whole model of Saquon Barkley is after Christian McCaffrey. To me, the Eagles' entire plan is to go, okay, Christian McCaffrey, when the 49ers made that trade, it was too much money. McCaffrey's been injured too much with the Carolina Panthers. You know, he's good, he's not great. And then he comes into a special offense with good play design, great quarterback play, and a really, really good offensive line. And he becomes probably the best weapon in the National Football League.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Overall, at least touchdown-wise. I think Saquon can do the same thing. I don't know how, as a defense, you can game plan for the Philadelphia Eagles and go, okay, Jalen Hurts can run and throw. A.J. Brown's a top three wide receiver in the league. Devontae Smith's a top 10 wide receiver in the league. Goddard's a top three tight end in the league whenever he's healthy. And then you have Saquon Barkley. Like, what are you going to do? You double A.J. and let Saquon work in the middle? Are you going to, you know, load the box against Saquon and let A.J. be singled up on the outside? I think being on the Eagles is what's going to make him special. And even if he's not a top three running back, if he's a top 10 running back, and situationally, he helps you with those third down and threes or get you that late touchdown that you need to, you know, get past the Cowboys or whatever, I think overall, $13 million, whatever it is going to seem very, very cheap for his abilities.
Yeah, yeah. I love the way you broke down the situational. I think it's such a big part of it. And you know, it adds to really what these players mean to the team, is how you use them in certain situations.
And by the way, I agree with you, Thomas. I think that's where Saquon's impact is going to be. I think he's going to be a success in, if he can have impact on winning games, a play here, a play there. My concern is back to those expectations. People expect volume. They expect Christian McCaffrey numbers.
Yeah.
It ain't happening. That's kind of what I'm talking about. But if he helps you win games, I think that's best case scenario.
In terms of volume, sorry to interrupt you there. Do you think 1,300 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns is too little, too high? Like, in terms of your expectations for his numbers, where do you
go? No, I expect Miles Sanders type. So 1,269. I think Miles was a 1,269. So 1,300. He's a better player than Miles Sanders. Sure. He's a better player than DeAndre Swift. But I think you're going to see similar numbers, especially in the passing game. I think that's where it becomes, and a lot of the rushing numbers will define by the Eagles' success. Are they ahead in the fourth quarter?
Sure.
Then those rushing numbers are going to go up. But Football Insights, I'll throw this at both of you guys, because this scared the crap out of me. So if you look at the advanced stats since 2021, so this is not a small sample size, it was, you know, rushing, forced missed tackles, so it necessarily isn't involved with the bad offensive line, and then scrimmage yards per touch. one of those charts where we have both ends of the spectrum. Saquon's in the bottom left quadrant where you don't want to be around names like Chuba Hubbard and Latavius Murray and Rashad White, who doesn't have a lot of burst in Tampa Bay. And for those who say, well, that's crap, if you look at the top right of the quadrant, it's Christian McCaffrey, it's Nick Chubb, it's Jamar Gibbs, and a smaller sample size, it's Aaron Jones, it's Bijan Robinson. It's all the guys you would expect to be, but Saquon's not there. That's my concern.
Okay. I mean, it's a fair concern. I think, again, you got to point back to playing on the New York Giants and having Danny Dimes and Danny DeVito as your quarterback. There's not a lot of fear there in terms of, you know,
Danny might have been better. Danny DeVito might have been better.
He might have been. He looked pretty good against us a couple of games there. You know, yeah. It wasn't necessarily bad. I think that Philadelphia, when it's signing Saquon Barkley, like the reward is so high. The risk, truly, though, it's pretty low. Like $13 million for a running back, people can freak out.
Oh, the risk, I'm not concerned about at all. Sure. The money is not an issue to me. I'm just purely talking about the football impact and the expectations versus. And by the way, I think he's going to be a good player, a fine player, a Miles Sanders type player. Miles was good here. DeAndre was good here. I expect Saquon Barkley to be good here. I don't expect him to be special.
Okay.
That's my concern.
Okay. I mean, it's fair, but I think Saquon gives you a little bit more of an edge than a DeAndre Swift would. And I think his leadership too is something we've seen very little of. We've gotten very little over the past couple of, you know, months from the Eagles, so, you know, social media team showing us Saquon Barkley and stuff. Cause I'm, you know, I'm just a fan. I'm not at practices. I don't get to actually be up close and personal, but everything I've read, people I've talked to, the leadership is definitely there for Saquon Barkley, way more so than a DeAndre Swift or a Miles Sanders. And that alone, I think, especially during, you know, a losing stretch, which will happen this year at some point, maybe they can, you know, right the ship a lot faster than they did last year when they basically were unable to.
Yeah, John will vouch for that as well with the leadership of Saquon Barkley. Definitely has a lot of those intangibles, no denying that. Thomas, something you brought up about Kellen Moore that I want to follow up on. Do you have any concern with Jalen Hurts being able to grasp some of those things that you talked about? A lot of motion, throwing the ball over the middle, potentially getting the ball out to your running backs quickly. He hasn't really been great at that. It's not a knock on him. It's more just not really his style of quarterback. He likes to rely on the legs. He looks for the big play. He's a big play type of guy.
Sure.
Do you have any concern with his ability to grasp some of the things Kellen might ask him to do?
I think there's concern early on. I think if Philly comes out and puts up 18, you know, 20 points against the Green Bay Packers on Friday, September 6th, and the offense doesn't look great, it's going to, you know, freak everybody out. But I think it's going to take a little bit of time to learn these things. But I think if there is a quarterback who could learn to exactly what Kellen Moore wants him to do, it's Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts, for, you know, all the, you know, say, media flaws that we talked about earlier, not giving us the answers that we wanted, or not being as open with the media, not seeming really interested in his social life, you know, being out in the public like we like our quarterbacks to do. You know, we want to see what Patrick Mahomes is doing. We want to see what Tom Brady was doing back in the day. Jalen's very quiet. We have no clue what Jalen does, you know, right now. What's he doing? You know, I do
non-football things.
Exactly. Non-football things was the answer, right? Yeah. I do think that he has the ability to learn this thing. And I think that the chip on Jalen's shoulder all the way back to Alabama has stayed there. And I think the NFL hasn't, you know, fixed that. I think going to the Super Bowl didn't fix that. You know, they lost the Super Bowl. I think there's still a lot of people in Jalen's mind that think Jalen Hurts is kind of a gimmick, kind of a one-hit wonder, kind of the result of A.J. Brown and Jason Kelsey and Devontae Smith. And I think this is the time where he can step into the role and be like, no, guys, I'm a top five quarterback. Like, I am a top five quarterback with the right offensive coordinator in this offense, in this system. I can go ahead and make things happen, and I can be extremely successful at this level. But I do think it is going to take time. I think all throughout training camp, I think, John, you're going to be tweeting Jalen Hurts interception, you know, Jalen Hurts bad pass, Jalen Hurts' day wasn't that great. I think we're guaranteed. Yeah,
that's Elliott's job.
Job. But, either way, we're going to see that. But I do think November is that kind of time where if the Eagles are hovering around, you know, I don't know how many games November is in, 3-5, you know, 4-2, November is where things start to really click, and that's where the run might start for the Eagles. So long-winded answer, but I do think he's going to be able to do it.
Defense. We haven't talked about defense. Vic Fangio, everybody's excited about Vic, and they should be. He's got, you know, the reputation, the cachet, whatever term you want to use. I think it's, you know, kind of funny that Sean Desai would do, you know, he was a direct Vic Fangio disciple, and he would do things as he was taught by Bick. And one of those things, Thomas, is he throws a lot at the players early.
Yeah.
And I think if you go back to training camp last year, the first time we all saw Bradberry in the slot, we're like, what the hell is this guy doing? What is he doing? And it didn't work out. But if Bick does stuff like that, and everybody's like, oh, hey, that's fine. And to that point, I bring up Quinyon Mitchell getting first team dime line. He's essentially the second linebacker on the field. If that were Sean Desai, Thomas Mott, you would have heard Philadelphia burning down. Vic Fangio, it's like, go do it, Vic. Great idea. And by the way, I'm completely fine with that. Vic knows what he's doing. How excited are you about this defense and their ability to bounce back?
Yeah, I think a lot of Eagle fans are very excited. I think we're very tired of the, you know, young up-and-coming defensive coordinator in Philadelphia. Let's see if he can make it sort of mindset Philadelphia's had the past couple of years. I mean, Jonathan Gannon, again, goes back to stats versus what you actually see on the football field. Gannon's defenses were ranked pretty high. It was like, you know, look, like top 10 defense, top 15 defense. And then the eye test, especially in the Super Bowl, especially, you know, in certain some of those games late in the season, it's like, this doesn't look like a top 15 defense. It doesn't look like a top 10 defense. And yet we were continually gaslit saying, oh, it's, you know, they're good. Statistically, they're very, very good. And I think Eagle fans are tired of trying to find the next great young defensive coordinator. I think when it comes to offense, makes sense. Go find the next Sean McVay. Go find the next Kyle Shanahan. When it comes to defense, go get a guy who's been there and done that. I did a show just the other day on Vic Fangio and talking about how, you know, his first defensive coordinator job was in 1995. It was the year before I was born. I didn't even exist in this world when he started coaching from an actual defensive coordinator position. And then now he has all the experience. He worked with Ray Lewis. He worked with those great, you know, Niner linebacker groups and all those great secondaries in Denver. I think he just gives you the credibility that the Eagle fans have been clamoring for from a defensive side of the football field. And I think the players have hinted that they wanted it too. And I know a lot of defensive players are very quick to not rip Sean Desai last year. I think Brandon Graham was the only person who's actually, you know, actively told the media coaching was a little, you know, a bit of a problem last year, which we all immediately go Brian Johnson and then obviously Sean Desai, whether it's true or not. But I do think that now you get an adult, quote unquote, in the room and somebody who's going to demand respect and demand a lot of these young players to do their job and do whatever it takes to get on the football field. And putting Quinyon at dime, I agree, it would have been weird last year. But in a cornerback room with 15 plus players all trying to make the, you know, roster and Quinyon being a first round draft pick, you just got to get him on the football field. And I think you would agree, OTAs and minicamp, a lot of it has been, let's just see who can play where. I mean, the Eagles have had massive issues at slot whenever Avante Maddox goes down, like the past 5 years. Quinyon can play slot because he's not going to be playing a lot of outside cornerback, it seems, with Ringo and Rodgers and Slay. Give him a try there, but I think the adult being back in the room on defense is going to help a lot of Eagle fans especially feel a lot more confident about the defense than, you know, these random guys that we have to convince ourselves, oh, Sean Desai, well, he had a year in, you know, Chicago. Maybe he'll actually be good. Now it's like, here's the resume of Vic Fangio. Just duplicate that in Philadelphia and you'll be just fine.
Thomas, last question for me. Thanks for joining the show, man. You were awesome. We appreciate you being here. First appearance on the show. It's our 800th show of Bird 365. So making our way. I think we'll get through the next 35 days. We've gotten through the last 800. What do you make of the young corners, Thomas? They were the talk of the camp. They were the talk of the spring football. A lot of young guys stepping up. Cooper DeJean's obviously still out there. It seems like his name's kind of falling out because there's so many other young guys stepping up. What do you make of the young corners and the headlines surrounding them?
You know, it's hard, right? Again, I'm reading John's tweets. I'm reading ESP's tweets. You know, I'm reading Brandon Lee Gowton's tweets in terms of what they're seeing actually being on the sideline at training camp, like most Eagle fans are, because you guys aren't allowed to film 11-on-11s and 7-on-7s. So we take your word for it whenever Quinyon looks good or this player doesn't look good. I think, again, it's a breath of fresh air actually having cornerbacks. And Darius Slay, I think, is going to be your leader. And then after that, it's going to be a massive cluster to figure out who's number two. To me, it sounds like Kelee Ringo is probably going to be number two. I wouldn't count on Isaiah Rodgers. They both got a lot of first team reps, according to John, again, at training camp or at mini camp and OTAs the past couple of weeks. I think Quinyon is going to just get to sit back and learn. I think his entire job is to be a sponge and his entire job is to be the future this year, not to be the guy this year. And if he gets called in and needs to play, then, you know, get out there and play. But I don't think there is any pressure for Quinyon Mitchell, for instance, to you know, have to start right away or have to contribute right away. I think that if Ringo's ready to go, Rogers, Slay, you are going to be just fine. I think DeJean is going to get a little more pressure to play just based on the fact that he can kind of move around a little bit more. I think they're going to use him in the nickel a bunch. I think they're going to have him in dime packages. Can he play a little bit of safety as well at times? Who really knows? It's just, again, so refreshing to have hope at the cornerback slot. I mean, my entire 28 years on this earth, Philadelphia's had a couple of good years where they had good cornerbacks, right? I was really young with Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown. I remember the Asante Samuel, what was it, 2009, 2010 years. Those were nice. But then we've had a bunch of, you know, misses. Byron Maxwell was like, oh, you know, look how much money we gave Byron Maxwell. Yeah. Nnamdi Asomugha. All these players were supposed to be good. Darby had his time. You know, Jalen Mills had his time. We haven't had consistent, strong cornerback play out of Darius Slay for a very long time. And I'm pumped to see what happens, but I'm very curious to see what happens with James Bradbury, if he's going to be on the roster or playing safety or, you know, I don't know, playing cornerback. It's going to be interesting.
Well, 2022 was pretty special.
Sure.
You know, and that's the thing. I kind of feel like modern NFL cornerbacks are like baseball relievers. They have a good year, down year, year.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to have that consistency. And that's one of the reasons I have so much respect for Slay. He's been one of those guys who's pretty consistent year in and year out. But you have to start worrying about the age there. At Real Thomas Mott, make sure you follow Thomas on X. Did a great job here on his debut with Birds 365. I hope you'll come back. I hope it wasn't that bad for you, Thomas. Watch his show on his YouTube channel. You can check it out there. Really appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Congrats on the 800th show, and let's have fun the next 35 days. Let's enjoy, you know, a little less drama until the drama really starts on, July 23rd.
Appreciate it, Thomas. Thanks for joining the show, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Thanks,
Thomas
man.
Mott joining us from the Thomas Mott Show. Does great work on his YouTube. Everybody who's watching on YouTube, I'm sure you know or have seen one of Thomas's videos and watched them on YouTube as he is growing like a weed on YouTube, doing a great job. So good stuff from Thomas Mott. Johnny Mac, we got about 6 or 7 minutes left to play. I got one more question for you. We'll do it after the commercial break. Thanks everybody for tuning in. There's a lot of good people in here this morning, so we appreciate all you guys for being in here. Almost 300 of you on YouTube and plenty of others on our other social platforms. So make sure you guys drop a like as it helps us grow. So we appreciate it. 800th show, guys. Can we get a bunch of likes? Can we get 200, 300 likes for the 800th edition of Birds 365? Stay tuned, everybody. Birds 365 will be right back to wrap up this Tuesday edition.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.